We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Lansing right now. And joining me is Zoe Clark. She's the political junkie at Michigan Radio. And Rick Pluta, he's the bureau chief for Michigan Public Radio Network. And, of course, they're the dynamic duo who make up It's Just Politics here on Michigan Radio. So let's start with something that's been called for by the Democrats. They say, hey, look, shouldn't the executive branch and the rest of state government be a little more transparent? Why can't we file a Freedom of Information Act against those folks and get some information about how the inner workings of the executive branch goes?
Right, Lester. Michigan is one of only two states in the country that completely allows state lawmakers, the governor, the lieutenant governor, and their offices to be exempt from FOIA.
You can FOIA a state department.
But not these other offices. Nor the governor or the lieutenant governor. And for the past couple sessions, Democrats have introduced legislation saying, hey, this shouldn't be exempt anymore. Folks should be able, through FOIA, to be able to get emails and documents.
Well, given the governor's statement in his very first State of the State address that he's going to have a transparent government, he's going to sign this if it gets through.
Well, let's see if this gets to his desk. That's a that's a highly theoretical construction that you've proposed here, Lester. Although we should point out that a prominent member of his administration, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, has proposed some FOIA reforms, really focused on the legislative branch when he was serving as a state lawmaker.
Yeah.
And of course, even if the administration was okay with this, the Democrats just boosted it up a notch and brought in financial disclosure, which is like, whoa, wait a minute. Getting lawmakers to disclose their personal assets as a condition of holding office has been kind of a non-starter around here for a very long time.
Which is something, though, that nationally, federal offices have to do.
Many states, because there's a potential
conflict
of interest.
And you ever notice how no one runs for Congress anymore?
Yeah, I think we get a daily announcement about that. No, seriously, though, this is something that happens in many other states because there's this great concern that there's going to be a conflict of interest. If you're running a trucking firm and you pass all this legislation that's going to benefit truckers.
Yeah.
Maybe the people might want to know that.
Well, and we've seen that happen, right? And also what opponents to this legislation say is they'll say constituent services, that they don't want to be under FOIA, let's say, if, the big bad media went and wanted some information about some emails, let's say, with a constituent. What opponents will say is, hey, that's private, right? I'm their representative.
Well, it's always been a concern. Mm-hmm. And actually, whenever, this has been proposed, that there's been some sort of carve out for, constituents communicating with their legislator about, some kind of private problem.
Sure.
I mean, certainly if a constituent communicated with a legislator about, say, a tax issue, that, you would probably want that to be confidential the same way, as if they'd communicated with the Department of Treasury. So that's always an element of it. But that is part of the internal tension on this topic, which is exactly how far do you go in mandating freedom of information? And, when you're talking about what's going on in the governor's office, they say that one of the reasons that you want to exempt a governor is so that the governor can freely seek out advice without worrying that it's going to, that advice is going to be made public, before a decision is made.
And I'm more worried about a constituent contacting a legislator about a little help on pushing that contract through.
Well, sure. And, certainly that happens. But I think that'd be more likely to be an in-person conversation than, someone sending an email. And quite frankly, legislators are typically very sensitive to exactly that. I remember this was many, many years ago, but a lawmaker, he was chuckling, showed me a campaign contribution that he was going to return because it was from a doctor. And in the notation line on the check, it said for medical malpractice vote.
All right, let's move on and talk about we have a new state treasurer.
We do, we will. We soon will, yeah.
Right. He's waiting until after the filing deadline to take the job.
Smart man. I don't know
what that says.
Well, there's been much made about the fact that this new guy that the governor has tapped was a lobbyist for DTE. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a registered lobbyist.
He's registered as a lobbyist.
Right. So what does that mean? Who is this guy, and why would the governor want him for treasurer?
Well, his name is Nick Curry, and he does tax policy and government affairs for DTE, which is a one of the state's major utilities. And a lot of times people in positions like that register as lobbyists, even though it's really not a regular part of their job. DTE's probably retained a multi-client in Lansing to do its day-to-day lobbying.
You mean multi-client lobbyist firm, right?
Yeah, multi-client lobbying firm to do their day-to-day lobbying in Lansing. And but someone like a Nick Curry would be registered so that if he comes in to testify, if he's hanging out in the lobby of the House or the Senate to talk to lawmakers as they're debating a particular issue, that they're not going to get burned on that. In fact, Nick Curry has a pretty lengthy state government resume.
And that, this is something, Rick, you and I were talking about just earlier today, this idea that he once used to work Governor John Engler.
He worked for Governor Engler. He was a deputy state treasurer. He even worked for Engler and the Senate Fiscal Agency when Engler was the Senate Majority Leader. Yeah. And he is part of what it's informal, but there is sort of a Republican government in waiting. And that when a Democrat is in the governor's office, there are Republicans who have served in state government, and maybe during a Democratic administration they will bump down into the civil service, waiting to move up
cooling
again
their heels
when another sometimes they have responsible substantial projects. Often, but waiting for someone of their party to move into the top job again. Right now there is certainly a Democratic government in waiting, where people are maybe serving in another branch of government. Maybe they're in the civil service. Maybe they're working for a not-for-profit or for a union or something like that. And the next time that there is a Democratic governor, those people will come back and serve in administration positions.
All right, let's talk about Tim Skubick, or not Skubick specifically, but his show Off the Record. His guest this past weekend was Ronna Romney McDaniel, the newly elected GOP chairwoman.
Yeah.
And Zoe Clark, you were there. The bright lights were on you.
I was one of the panelists on the program, yeah.
So what was the news there?
Well, I think some of the news came out of the fact that earlier last week, Dave Ajema, the Republican National Committee man representing Michigan, made some more comments, controversial comments, this time about President Obama. Race and ethnicity.
Well, he sought to break down Obama's racial makeup.
Yeah, what was it?
Down
like
to partial percentage points.
62.7%.
And so Chairwoman McDaniel, we asked her, and I would say pressed her, on whether or not she believed Dave Ajema needed to resign, something that her predecessor, Bobby Shostak, has called for, that national Republicans all over the country, that Governor Snyder has called for, and she still, unlike her fellow Republicans, would not call on him to step down, saying that all conversations that she and Mr. Ajema have had are private and that they will stay private and that she is not ready to say as much.
I got to ask you, because, I follow a lot of Republicans on Facebook, and there's been a lot of controversy among some Republicans who just say, why are we still dealing with this? Why are we dealing with this guy?
Yeah.
And enough is enough.
And the answer to that question, Lester, is he still has a base in the Michigan Republican Party.
I know he does.
I was at the party's winter convention, and there were signs were ubiquitous, signs and buttons that said, I stand with Dave Ajema. And
so what does that say about the Michigan Republican Party in general?
Well, what Republicans will say is that they don't have the rules, that there is nowhere in their rule book to make him step down. Democrats, including the chair of the Democratic Party, Lon Johnson, wrote this open letter after Off the Record was done taping on Friday to McDaniel, saying, look, you could if you wanted to. You could push him out. Here are some ways to do it. And others have said the same thing.
Well, I think there are two things. One is, you sort of have to ask the question. Now, a political party is a private organization, although it has a very public face. And do you want to be in the position of ejecting people who've been elected by a party convention, by delegates over something that they've said. You could see why a lot of Republicans would want Dave Ajema to be gone, but you would also be opening a can of worms if that became the standard by which you removed people. What is the standard for not standing by the party platform? Well, that means then that any Republican who comes out in favor of same-sex marriage could be removed by a vote of the executive board or something like that.
But at the same time, is the Republican Party now saying we stand behind bigoted and racist speech?
They're trying to, at least some people are trying to have it both ways, and we will see what happens if and when Mr. Ajema is up for re-election as the national committeeman.
Yeah.
That is Rick Pluta. He's the bureau chief for Michigan Public Radio Network, and Zoe Clark, our resident political junkie. They, of course, are the folks who bring you It's Just Politics every week here on Michigan Radio. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lester.
Pleasure.